So we have seen that Charles Blendon decided to give up on what seemed to him a path leading nowhere, teaching in those one-room country schoolhouses, and he was determined to start a newspaper, to start that in Sanborn, Minnesota. He inveigled the printing press and the equipment he needed, and he was off. May of 1893 was a momentous month for Charles and Jenny Blendon. On May 5th, Blendon published the first edition of the Sanborn Sentinel, the beginning of a demanding but newly independent life. And I'm looking at a very intriguing photograph right now. It's a picture showing Jenny. She's seated in a chair. She's holding a copy of that first edition. She's looking upwards, big smile on her face. Blendon is standing behind her, and he's got one hand over the back of the chair pointing at that newspaper. Look at him. He's looking very self-satisfied and very determined looking, nicely dressed. He's got a suit on and a tie. Hair is parted right down the middle. And it's interesting in particular because this is the first known picture of Blendon. There was no money to take pictures of him during his childhood, of course, and there was no cause to do so while he was wandering around and then teaching in those various schools. So the earliest picture associated with this important event in his life. 2 days after the publication of that first edition, Jenny gave birth to the couple's only child, a son. They christened the baby Monroe. That was the name of Blendon's father and also of Blendon's older brother. During the rest of that first year, Blendon carried out the duties of a small-town publisher, and Jenny served as helpmate and assistant. She rocked the cradle with one hand and set type with the other, as Blendon told his granddaughter years later. When Blendon addressed a meeting in 1927 of the Minnesota Editorial Association, he chose as his topic the value of country newspapers, and his words then reflect his experience as the owner of a small newspaper. The editor, he said, usually did his own news gathering, and with the help of a boy, ran off the edition of a couple hundred copies on a hand press. Between editions, he would do job printing. As to subscriptions, they often went unpaid or were traded for farm produce and cordwood. Trade accounts with local merchants provided food for the family larder. Dollars were scarce and far between. He emphasized the financial difficulties faced by the owner of a limited circulation weekly, stating, "Few people expected the country editor to pay his bills, and he rarely disappointed his creditors in that particular." The small newspaper editor even had trouble raising the money to pay the COD charges on his packet of ready prints. Those are the pages to be inserted in the middle of a weekly newspaper. The life of a small-town editor-publisher was not easy. Well, unfortunately, some 15 years after the Blendons left Sanborn, fire destroyed the building then housing the Sentinel, as well as all file copies of the newspaper. No issues of the Sentinel from the time of Blendon's editorship have been preserved. Thus, it's not possible to assess the contents of Blendon's Sentinel firsthand. Well, I was certainly hoping, when looking for information on this, that I could find that first edition and see how it looked. But no such luck. But Julius A. Schmall, and that's a name that was very familiar in Minnesota in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, he was state auditor and then state treasurer for just a long, long time. Julius A. Schmall, in 1892, same year as Blendon started, had acquired the Redwood Gazette, and that was published in a town that was just about 20 miles north of Sanborn. After 18 years with that paper, Julius Schmall wrote a lengthy article recounting the history of newspapers in Redwood County. Schmall was in a position, certainly, to have an excellent perspective of journalistic activities in his area. In that History of Newspapers article, written in 1915, Schmall said that Blendon's Sanborn Sentinel was the sixth paper to be started in Redwood County, and that when the first edition appeared, the newspaper field in the region was greatly enlivened. Schmall explained that Sanborn was one of the live towns of Redwood County, and that Blendon, from the outset, injected into the news and editorial columns a spirit of active publicity and general boosting and hard knocking. Julius Schmall's 1893 and 1894 issues of his Redwood Gazette provide still another glimpse at the beginning of Blandin's work as publisher. A few of Blandin's feature stories were reprinted in the Gazette, and while they're of no interest today, they demonstrate Blandin's eye for detail and his lively writing style. Further, the Gazette often quoted the barbs that rival country editors delighted in throwing at each other and drew several from the Sentinel. For example, for weeks, the Gazette devoted front-page coverage to some rather unlikely reports that diamond drilling was disclosing quantities of coal, copper, and other minerals in Redwood County. Blandin wrote of the unwarranted fuss with wit and sarcasm. Now that the coal fever has run its course at Redwood Falls, editor Schmall of the Gazette will probably turn his attention to the outcropping of paint deposits, and we may expect our valued exchange of newspapers to henceforth reach us each week handsomely decorated in chromatic colors. Well, after what Schmall called a prosperous first year for the Sentinel, so Blandin was off to a good start with it, but he began to use his newspaper to support his increasing involvement in local politics. In 1894, the Redwood County offices were dominated by a ring of Republicans who had held lengthy tenure in their positions. Intimations of unfair practices and even graft were prevalent throughout the county. Many felt the time had come for change, and as the date for the political conventions approached, the Gazette, Schmall's paper, reported intense interest manifested over the Republican nominees. Blandin soon was quite immersed in the Republican struggles, even though he was a publicly declared Democrat. Despite his affiliation, Blandin endorsed various Republican candidates in his newspaper and involved himself in the internal affairs of the party. As Blandin became even more active in Republican matters, the Gazette reported, editor Blandin and his candidate for Register of Deeds, Simon Dotson, made a pretty spectacle going over the county together a couple of weeks ago. Blandin is a Democrat and Mr. Dotson a Republican. Democrat and Republican in the same wagon is not a good combination before a Republican convention. In the following week, the Gazette reported Democrat Blandin of the Sanborn Sentinel is alleged to be a power in Republican politics. He's also scheduled to run the Democratic convention in Sanborn next Saturday. Bully for Blandin. Well, what odd, odd circumstances. What's Blandin attempting to do here? What is going on with him? Evidently, he was deliberately trying to harm the election chances of certain Republican candidates by direct involvement in their affairs. Whatever the outcome of Blandin's machinations, he was, in Schmall's words, convinced that his purpose had been accomplished. Well, maybe he had achieved his political ends by those strange maneuvers, but only at high cost. It would seem that what he had hoped to do then was to destroy the Republicans by intervening in their affairs and so directly applying himself to them. But the sentiments of the Sanborn merchants who had wanted a newspaper to boost the town and serve their commercial interests may be easily understood. Dismay grew with the publisher who was earning a reputation for political notoriety. Schmall wrote in 1915 that the publisher was so active in politics that he made many enemies, and advertising revenue for the Sentinel commenced to dwindle. In a small town like Sanborn, a publisher needed the backing of almost all of the merchants, or financial ruin was sure to follow. Shortly after the county political conventions, the Gazette reported that editor Blandin of the Sentinel was soon to retire from that paper. Schmall commented that Blandin had given Sanborn a paper that would have been a credit to a much larger town, and he will be missed. Although on several occasions during the heat of political battle, Schmall had directed sarcasm towards Blandin and his unorthodox methods, the Redwood Gazette carried a fond and poignant farewell to the Sanborn editor. Schmall wrote, the last issue of the Sentinel was a small pink sheet announcing the suspension of publication and a pathetic and impressive adieu from its editor, C.K. Blandin. During Blandin's career in this county, he has conducted one of the brightest and best edited country papers in the state, and the many friends he has made will wish him Godspeed in his new field. The Gazette is among them. Well, with the withdrawal of advertising, Blandin was forced to give up his Sentinel. The paper did continue under new leadership, and as of 1984, was still published as a weekly. But the failure of the newspaper must have been a blow for Charles Blandin. He didn't talk about it in subsequent years and didn't offer any explanations. And certainly, Blandin did not ever repeat such intense political involvement as he had pursued at Sanborn. Blandin liked to think of himself as having acquired valuable practical experience during his varied early career, and he must have regarded the loss of his paper as one of the most practical of his lessons. So all those hopes for this new career seemed to be quite thoroughly dashed, and Blandin and Jenny prepared to leave Sanborn and seek their fortunes elsewhere.